It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Lots to get through today. Well, actually, no, we don't have lots to get through because I want to get through one particular thing. And that's the new EU digital passport. I'm not too sure if you're familiar with it, but maybe I should make you more familiar with it because a lot of people have serious concerns about it. And the new digital identity framework, as they call it, will provide EU citizens with cross-border digital access to key public services. According to the regulation adopted on Thursday, or should I say Thursday last week, and already agreed upon with EU ministers, this new digital identity wallet will allow citizens to identify themselves online without having to resort to commercial providers, a practice that raises trust, security and private concerns. The EU wallet will be used on a voluntary basis for the moment. During negotiations, MEPs secured provisions to safeguard citizens' rights and foster an inclusive digital system by avoiding discrimination against people opting not to use the digital wallet. Now, that's for the moment, by the way, just for the moment. Remember, of course, they're saying it's voluntary, but everything always starts off as voluntary. For example, if we go back to COVID-19, I hate to bring it up over and over again, but of course, the COVID-19 passport initially was meant to be voluntary. Do you remember that? But before long, you had to have it to leave the country. You remember that? Of course, we got rid of it again, but there are some countries who are starting to bring it back in again. Now, the law provides for free qualified electronic signatures for the EU wallet users, which are most trusted and have the same legal standing as a handwritten signature, as well as wallet-to-wallet interactions, i.e., you know, tapping to give other people money or access to your information. In other words, when you cross the border, for example, or if you're going out to an airport, you'll be able to tap your phone rather than show your passport to improve the fluidity of digital exchanges. Every EU citizen and resident in the Union will be able to use a personal digital wallet. And according to Ursula von der Leyen, every time an app or a website asks us to create a new digital identity or to easily log in via the big platform, we have no idea what happens to our data in reality. That is why the Commission will propose a secure European e-identity, one that we trust that any citizen can use anywhere within Europe to do anything from paying taxes to renting a bicycle. Technology we can control ourselves. Now, they go on to tell you what it can be used for, but as well as travel, which is the obvious one, it can be used for public services such as requesting birth certificates. So it will carry all of this information somehow. Birth certificates, medical certificates, reporting a change of address, opening a bank account, filing your tax returns, applying for a university at home or in a member state, storing medical or prescriptions that can be used anywhere within Europe, proving your age, renting a car or a digital driver's license will be all held on it, checking into a hotel. Now, a lot of people think this is a wonderful idea, a great idea, this is progressive. But is it really? Is it really that progressive? Have a quick look at this on GB News during the week when they talked about it.
The digital identity is not just a passport that you will have on your iPhone in a digital form. It entails just about everything the government would like to know about you. The best way to get to a modern person's heart is to say that it's convenient for them. So yes, you won't have to carry all your different papers and your passports, but the downside of it is, and I hope that people will start to see this, that the government can shut you down. So you know, if you want to buy a burger, red screen, no mark, not for you. That flight, not for you. Oh, but you can just buy it if you have enough money, right? So they're being very open and honest to what their goal is here. So we should take their words seriously and say, hell no. I would say we should cancel these communists immediately and say, get the hell out of my private life. I'm not having you track me and decide what I eat and where I go.
There you go. That's Mark Stern and Ava Vlaanderbroek, who were on GB News talking about the EU digital wallet. Now, I don't know whether you think it's a good idea. And the problem is, do I trust the government? I think at this point, nobody trusts the government. Do you trust the EU? Does anyone trust the EU anymore? But then again, it is a progressive idea. We moved from cash to digital currency, didn't we? And we did that quite seamlessly. And most of us have adopted that quite well, by the way. We tap our cards all the time. We've done that over the last 20 years. And to suggest that we shouldn't do this may come across as some sort of conspiracy theory that we shouldn't, because they'll suddenly be in control of our lives and we'll be heading down the Chinese route of social credits. All of a sudden in 20 years' time, will they limit on your identity wallet how many times you can travel on a plane in a year, how many steaks you can buy, how many miles you travel in your car, how much electricity you can use? Will all that be limited on your DU or your EU digital identity wallet in the future once we agree to initially being allowed to use it? Well, let me know what you think, because the European MEPs, the people you voted for to represent you in Europe, they all voted in favour because they're all a bunch of gobshites anyway. Look what they've been voting for over the last 3 or 4 weeks. They voted to destroy farmers' reputations and their farmers' futures already this week. So what else will they vote for? These are the people, by the way, that you'll be voting for in Europe on June the 6th this year. European MEPs. Most of them are arseholes who will destroy our lives because they're only thinking of themselves, their own pockets, and of course their job in the EU in the future. But let me know what you think anyway. Do you think the digital identity or digital ID wallet is a good idea? The number, as usual, if you want to contact us, is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Let me go to Morris first, if I can. Morris, is it really such a bad idea?
No, good afternoon. How are you doing? I think it's a good idea, yeah, because people are very easily traceable now. Like, if somebody was to go missing or you lost some property or, like, if somebody went to mug you and they stole your money off you, your cash, it's gone. Whereas if somebody steals your phone, they can't get access to your cash. So, you know, it has its ups and its downs. But I think it's very important to keep track on who's coming across our borders. And I listened to the clip about GP and GB talking news, about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every Irish person I know that's away on holidays takes great pleasure in turning on their phone and going, look at the queue, I'm waiting at the airport. There's nobody in my aisle. Then the camera spins to the right, and there's 460 British people going through immigration because they're not in the EU anymore. Do you see what I mean?
I do understand the convenience of it, and I do understand the convenience of having everything in one place. I mean, your medical records, if you want to apply for birth certificate, if you want to pay your tax.
Or if you got sick on holidays, if you got sick, you have your medical records on your phone.
Absolutely. And I understand the convenience of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And you know, and like cash, because there was a resistance, of course, from moving to cash to digital currency, which is what most people use nowadays. Although I do believe that cash should still be accepted for those who are not, you know, in the digital currency market, all right?
Yeah.
Most of us are, but some people, older people, for example, still use cash quite a lot. But I see in 20 years' time, there will be no cash. I predict that. I don't think you have to be a genius to work that out. But
and the older people will be dead.
But my problem is, at the moment, the EU are saying this is voluntary, right?
Okay, yeah.
But we remember the COVID passports during COVID-19. They initially were meant to be voluntary. But before very long, it was a case of you had to have it when you were flying or when you were travelling. So I predict this will be the same. And I also predict that it makes it really easy for them to implement anything they want in the future. So, for example, if Eamon Ryan and the Green Party come up with some bright idea that you're only allowed to fly 3 times in a year because you only have so many green credits, they can easily implement that onto your app. And when you arrive at the airport, you tap your EU digital identification or your new passport type system or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they turn around and they say, sorry, you've already traveled 3 times this year. You're not traveling again. Or you go into a garage to buy diesel for your car. And they say, sorry, you've already used up your diesel for this year. You can't buy any more. Or you've already used enough home oil, heating oil. So I can see how it can be abused. And I know people are going to start thinking that. Now, it may not happen, but in China, we're seeing that happening already with what they call social credits on their phones. You know, people are only limited to a certain amount of red meat and a certain amount of enjoyment because you use up your social credits.
Yes, I understand. Well, like, we live in a democracy. They live in a dictatorship, you know. But I think if the Greens, I think they'll never get into power again as far as I'm concerned. I'm a long time around now. And any time they've got into power, they've been annihilated. And they're going to be annihilated again.
But they're always they were annihilated in the last general election, but they still managed to scrape their way into government because the government needed them. And that's what'll happen.
Exactly.
You heard Eamon Ryan there last week on the Late Late Show saying he'll go into power with Sinn Féin. He'll go into power with anybody. He doesn't care.
Yeah. Well, that's like somebody saying I'd go into power with the devil to save
He would. But he would.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. If people want to, like, what's so wrong about Sinn Féin going into power? Like, I'm sick of people saying to me, I'm sick of the same people ripping me off year in, year out, government in, government out. So we'll not have new faces in Leinster.
Yeah, well, new faces to rip you off just as much. Do you think Sinn Féin are going to rip you off less? I don't think so.
Oh, listen, they're already at it. They're all getting their pensions and their expenses.
Mm.
You know, they get paid for doing their dirty laundry and everything else. But listen, anybody that's willing to bring a country forward with technology, did you ever think you'd live in a time where you could go into a shop and tap your phone on a machine and pay for your groceries? Because I never thought I would.
No, but here's the thing. I still have control over that. If I want to, I can go to an ATM machine and I can get money out and use money. in most cases. But also, I still have control over it. I can still control what I spend, how I spend it, how I tap it.
Yeah.
There's nobody telling me that I can't, unless, of course, I don't have the bloody money. But I don't want a situation where the government decide, for example, when I go into the shop to buy, say, a pound of mince, that when I tap it, it comes up with an alert on my phone, for example, saying, according to your EU digital wallet, you've already bought
a kilo.
Yeah, you've bought over your quota of red meat this month. Because the Green Party decided you're only allowed to buy a certain amount every year.
Yeah, I think they'll probably try and control your spending more than anything else, where I can't see them getting involved with your everyday spending and your everyday living. Because one of the biggest green disasters so far that they've done is this return bottle.
Oh,
I listened to one guy at the weekend, and he spent £20 nearly on diesel driving around, and every machine he got there was broken.
It's an absolute, utter disaster. And all it is...
And who's responsible?
The Green Party.
Yeah.
But all it is we were already putting plastic bottles, by the way, in
going in the recycling
bin anyway. And you are paying for the privilege of that, by the way, can I just point out. Now they want you to take them back out of the recycling bin and bring them back to the shop and pay for the privilege of that as well. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
I done it yesterday for the first time. I brought 6 bottles back. I got 175 on a voucher. So the next time I go to Tesco's or whatever, I have 175 off me next shopping. They took me money, but they're telling me how to spend it now. So like you said, it could be starting that way. But like I said, it's
the future,
you think? It's progress.
Okay.
I think so. It's progress, and I think we're going forward. But I did say to your researcher when I rang in, if there's vulnerable children out there and we can track them and find out where they are and what they're doing, and if they get lost, it's a good thing to be able to find somebody that's vulnerable that can get lost in society.
Okay, thank you for that, Morris. Appreciate it. Let me go to Breda if I can. Breda, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm good, Breda. And I'm sorry for we had a few technical problems there at the start of the show, but we're all sorted out now. Breda, I mean, do you think this is a good idea?
No, I don't think it's a good idea. I completely agree with you, Niall, in the sense that you'd be monitored for every single thing you do. And down the road, they could absolutely start controlling you as to what you can and cannot do and what you can eat and what you can't eat. And, you know, I mean, we have a passport. The passport you have to have, everyone has to have a passport to get from one country to another, except between Ireland and England. You have your European health card or in Europe if you get sick. You know, any other facilities you want to use, you're going to have to pay for them anyway, because if I want to use the train to go from Malig Airport down to Fuengirola, I get on and pay whatever it is, €5, and off I go. So to me, I don't care. I don't need all my information on a little digital card.
Like or an app. It'll be an app, I imagine. It'll be an app.
Well, an app, yeah. It'd be the same as the COVID app. I mean, I couldn't work. I couldn't go into Canada to work as cabin crew unless I had my COVID vaccine cert on my phone.
What was that app? I think I still have it on my phone here. Do you remember that app that we had to have during COVID-19 to fly?
Oh, the tracker thing.
No,
the COVID tracker.
No, the one to fly. If we wanted to go to the airport, you have to have that app.
Yeah, but it was like...
Flybe or something, or Verifly. That was it.
Verifly.
Yeah.
But then there's another app that if you could sign up and you could let them know where you were and if you came in contact with somebody.
Oh, yeah, but that was a flap. That was a disaster. But no, the Verifly one was the one you had to have when you went to the airport. You'd put your flight details, your COVID certificate into it and all that kind of nonsense, and they let you know whether you were allowed to fly or not. So some people are saying, those of us who would be considered conspiracy theorists amongst us, you know, that, okay, it seems like a logical idea at the moment, seems like a progressive idea, not a bad idea, and it's voluntary, inverted commas, but everything that's voluntary always becomes mandatory eventually. And that, you know, eventually it can be abused.
100%. And as you said, the likes of Eamon Ryan, God forbid if he ever got control of something like that. Well, we wouldn't be allowed to switch on lights between certain times, and you could light your candle and sit around it like you suggested when the electricity went up a few years ago, and we could all sit around and warm our hands off the candle. I mean,
by the way, can I just mention as well in that the news last week, of course, as well, is that Ireland is now officially the most expensive place in the world to buy electricity. There's a surprise.
And look at the money they all make. I mean, where's the ombudsman that's supposed to be monitoring all this. I mean, they're making phenomenal money and we're not seeing any benefits from it at all. Apart from the 150 to get us, like, there the 1st of March.
Bullshit,
Thank you, I was delighted to get it. But, like, at the end of the day, reduce the price of electricity and gas. They're making billions out of it. we're all gobshites paying it all up and going, yeah, come on.
Well, look, back to the passport, or the ID, as they call it, the European ID. I mean, there is some people suggesting similar to the Chinese. Now, I know it's a very different country and a very different state. You know, we're not ruled with a dictatorship in this country, although some people would say you suggest we are.
Yeah,
that they have, you know, the Chinese social credit system. You know what I mean? If you're well behaved, you can buy more meat. If you're well behaved, you can leave the country once or twice. You know, and then before we know it, Eamon Ryan is telling us how many flights we can take per year.
But Sir Eamon Ryan wants to put a cap on how many people can come in and out of Dublin Airport. I mean, we're an island. If we can't bring people in and boost the economy, what are we going to do?
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there for a second, because I want to go to John and Carl and Nuala as well. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are things?
Good. John, is this a good idea?
Well, first of all, you might as well get a big shovel, the biggest one you can get, and bury the Green Party, because here's a prediction, and it rang one of them from my property, they're canvassing, right? They are finished. It's going to start at the locals, and then it will continue on the demise of the Greens. And here's a prediction. They came back from the dead, right, after the banking crisis. They will never rise again. They're finished politically.
I thought it was interesting, actually, last week when he was on the Late Late Show, when he walked out, nobody was clapping. Did you notice that?
I didn't see it.
They tried to drown out the sound with the ridiculously crap band. They tried to drown out the sound, but there was nobody cheering when he came on. And I thought it was the most watered-down, diluted, easy interview anyone has ever been given on the Late Late Show.
He needn't worry about going in with the Shinners or whatever, because he'd be going in with no one. Because to go in with somebody, you actually have to get a couple of seats. And the prediction is they won't get any seats. They're finished.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Well, I hope so. I think most people hope so at this stage. But go on anyway, John.
Yeah. Getting back, look, I don't trust our own government with the way they're selling the population. Oh, they're about to trace us at the moment. What's going on in the country? I certainly don't trust the EU, because that wants to be a super state where we will end up with no Dáil-Éireann and everything will be controlled by Europe. You'll have a super state and you'll have one government, the government in Europe, right? I don't trust the
That's what it is already, isn't it? John.
Yeah, I don't trust the WHO. I don't trust UN, another bunch of useless feckers. Now, the whole thing is about the digital, right? Now, recently, you know, I had a health issue there and I had to get a private test, right? And I paid in cash. And the girl was in disarray when I presented a big wad of notes, right? Because there was a lot of money. And she had no change for me. So I lost the boat. I said, €30. And the transaction, because she rang around and no one had changed to give me. So I said, look, I just walked up with the test. Then I said to hell to leave a call, which I really didn't want to, but I had to, right? I went over during the summer to a place that sells blinds, a very reputable company, and it was a couple of €100 for the blinds. And when I produced the cash again, you know, the girl says, oh, it's not often you'd see cash now.
There you go.
I looked at her, I says, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, did I ever think I'd hear those words coming from a person behind the counter, that they'd be shocked and they'd see cash. Cash! Mm. Which would be, I mean, cash is king. It's the old saying, right? No, I think the penny has dropped in Michael McGrath, that he says that cash should be acceptable for the time being. We're coming down the tracks. I don't agree with all this digital stuff on one cab. It's too much information. It's too much control. As I said to a friend of mine recently, all the cars, There's a huge amount of computers and technology in the cars. And I said, eventually, you know what will happen? To cut out the congestion, you'll go out someday and you'll turn your car on. You'll make an attempt and the car won't stop because they'll have a block.
They've already... You needn't predict that. They've already suggested this in California. That with the new digital systems now within cars, they can actually tell your car. They did it in Japan years ago, by the way. You're only allowed to drive your car every second day. But they've predicted in California, they want to bring in legislation to stop people driving their cars on certain days. Maybe on a Sunday, for example, you won't be able to drive it. And also to restrict the speed limits on cars through technology, because they can do it remotely now with the technology that's built into cars.
This is your private vehicle, then, like, and someone else will decide when you can use it. The same as...
So you believe the same will be used with an ID wallet? In other words, you will only be allowed to travel at a certain time. You'll be only allowed to do certain things at a certain time.
If that happens here, we might as well bring President Xi over here, like, and just be another Connolly of China, because all autonomy will be gone.
But stay there for a second. A new lot will be with you in 2 seconds. I want to just bring Carl Dieter in on this as well. Carl, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Carl, I mean, I want to come to Nuala as well in a second. And she's going to say, yes, she thinks it's not such a bad idea. But, you know, I don't know. Do you think it's a good idea, digital ID?
I think there's advantages to it. But at the same time, there's disadvantages. So, for instance, if you use something bad in a bad way, I'm really against it. So, like, I own guns. I like guns. But if you use guns in a bad way, obviously I'd be against the way that they can be used badly. With the digital ID, it's the same. Like, I hated lockdowns. I hated the idea of having to show QR codes to order a coffee. I've never felt so debased in my life. I'm totally against everything like that. But saying, oh, that's what it's going to end up as straight away, I don't think that's true. So if you had a digital ID, you know, you could be in an accident, and if there was a way to quickly find out who you are, have your medical records, everything that you know, whether you've got allergies, that kind of stuff could be given to you. And if someone is causing trouble and you say, you know, hold on, mate, who are you? Oh, I have no ID. You could find out maybe they're a troublemaker. Maybe they should be arrested. People coming into the country, they could be properly ID'd, find out if there was a digital database. Did they come here from somewhere else? There's different things that you trade off. So the question is the good stuff that you get worth the bad stuff that's possible? And
well, we know what the bad stuff that's possible is. Control is the bad stuff, isn't it?
Sure, control. And I'm against that. And the big issue.
But you're
I have,
but you're though, you're saying you're against that, and we've seen it happen in other countries.
Well,
you know,
that's
I mean, we're looking at climate change policies all over the world, which are not liked by most people, to be honest with you. And there's nothing stopping, for example, if we have an EU digital identity wallet, for example, and that becomes mandatory. Mm-hmm. They're saying it's voluntary at the moment because they don't want to discount older members of the population who are not familiar with digital IDs, right? So they're saying it's voluntary, but it will become mandatory. You know as well as I do. So then what's to stop, for example, the Green Party saying you've bought enough diesel this week, or you've travelled on enough planes this year, or you've bought enough steak?
This is one of those things where obviously what I'm telling you is I disagree with all of those things, but it's not like furthering usability or the use of technology is a bad thing. If you use it badly, again, get back to the idea of a gun. A gun can be used to protect your home from an invader. A gun can be used to go out and senselessly shoot.
I know, I can see the positives to it.
Different thing.
But it worries me. If I had a government and an EU that I could trust, I would say this sounds like a great idea.
But, Carl,
it's the same week, only last week actually, or the week before, they brought in the digital passport for goods, which the EU MEPs voted on, which means they will now establish a history for all goods for sustainability. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that you could link the two together very quickly.
Well, yeah, I mean, on goods, I kind of, like, I'm not really into all the climate stuff. I mean, I kind of think there's a lot of charlatanism in that space. But I do think, for instance, if you were able to have proper tracing in goods, you could, for instance, make sure that things weren't built with human slaves or penny labor or sweatshop labor. And so I'm trying to say is that you can't look at something and just make an assumption that by its virtue, it's bad. Now, if you have bad implementation, if you have a government like the Irish government who have proven that they are not responsible, that they are not a responsible authority with people's freedom, or that at least that they're willing to ride roughshod over it to achieve whatever they feel is the right choice on the day, then for us, it might not be a good choice. But it doesn't mean that it is only a dark cloud. It is something that could actually be quite enabling. If you had, you know, biometric digital wallets, you're probably not going to get mugged because, you know, everything would be ultimately traceable within that event. It could be very good for accessing a healthcare system, for having your healthcare records digitally in one place. And these are things that, like, by the way, when you think about the bad side, don't forget to just realize there is also a good side and to contemplate
it. And I'm with you on the good side. I see it's a great idea from that point of view. You know what I mean? But I see the bad stuff too. They're also, by the way, introducing a digital driver's digital driver's license. This will contain your driver's license, by the way, too. So, for people who don't know, it contains public services such as requesting birth certificates, medical certificates, travel, opening a bank account, filing tax returns, applying for university, storing medical prescriptions and medical history, proving your age, renting a car, using digital driver's license, and checking into a hotel. They're just some of the things that you could do with your ID wallet.
Yeah. And that all sounds like great enabling stuff. And I like the fact when I go to pay for things, I can just tap my phone now. I don't have to carry like 6 different bank cards, etc. Look, the Irish government have proven that they are not good custodians of the trust in the people. They've shown that this is something that they're willing to ride roughshod over when it comes to your freedoms. Your job as a citizen at that point is to make your change at the ballot box, but not to reject all progress because we happen to have irresponsible custodians of our freedom.
That's grand, but what's coming in? Are you going to trust in? Are you going to trust Sinn Féin? I mean, Carlos, right there. I mean, when you buy it all down, right? I mean, it's all about trust. Will you give over your trust, society's trust, to these faceless people who get elected by us and then turn on the people? I don't trust them. I will never trust them. They made a hash of it. Going back over the covers, they'll make a hash of it again. Basically, I think, Carl, you should agree, it's all about trust. And I think for a lot of people, the trust is not there.
Carl, well, if it's not, yeah. Well, this is the thing. If it's not, then it is up to the nation to decide. And sometimes when you're in the minority, it's sore. You know, you're going to lose, you're going to win. Is that sometimes you're on the losing side, and it's not easy to do. And I've been on the losing side in many things in life, politics, you name it. But it doesn't mean that you have to say that some of the fundamentals of things that can happen within this greater picture are therefore bad. That's my point. Is the custodians of our freedom are the critical point in this. It's not whether the tech is good or bad. We know it has so many advantages that like could make your life so much better. It's just we have a problem with the people in charge.
Okay, but stay there for a second because Nuala's been waiting ages. I do apologize, Nuala.
The tech itself is bad.
Okay,
everyone is saying the same thing, that it's the people in charge who are bad.
Nuala, hi. How are you?
I'm good now. I'm good. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. Yeah. You know, I went back and did a degree, but every student has an ID card. And on the ID card, I have my one here before me.
Yeah.
And it's my date of birth is on it.
Yeah.
And the company that when we went into Blackboard, you know, to find out about your lectures and when during COVID they were online and that. The company that regulates all that is ISS. I think it's ISS. It's an international corporate. You know, so all these things are already there. And even I remember one time when I was part of the Labour Party and we got a trip over to Brussels. And I was amazed that when we were at the door of the whatever it is, you know, the parliament.
Yes.
GS4 were the security on it, and they're an American, and they were the same company that was on the company that I worked for, Medical Device Company.
Right.
And then Princess de Rossa had a meeting with us, and he was saying how great it was, how great thou art, you know. So I said, but is this not a facilitator of multinationals when your security company is an American security company at the door of the parliament? You know? So you kind of think, what the heck is going on? Like, do we, it'd be okay if it was just your government, own government that had control over what's happening, but there's a higher tentacles than that, you
of
know
course,
what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, well, look, everybody knows that. Going. Yeah, we all know about the higher tentacles, as you call them. I mean, you're saying that you trust, well, not that you trust, you think it's a good idea in principle.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that other companies, multinationals that you don't even know about, you're not told about. Like, I was just looking up something in relation to the National Women's Council. And I found that there's 100 different organisations that are signed up to them. And most of them are funded by the government. Mm-hmm. You know, different, even the IFA and the ICA. And I said, holy. And the National Secondary School Teachers and the National School Teachers. And I was talking to a National School Teacher today and she said, she didn't know anything about the National. Who's that? And what's it do? No, the rest. So you're signed up to things without knowing them. I think, say, for voting now, I think it would be great because they're supposed to have updated the electoral register and they're Mickey Mousing around with it.
Well, they are Mickey Mousing around with it. Yeah.
Well, for a small area where I am, you're allowed going to the city library and check out, you know. So I checked out the small area and it was only 42% accurate. Three of the people were dead on it. The three new tenants, city council tenants, they weren't on it at all.
So you think this kind of thing would universally have everybody's identification. So it would be a universal system rather than relying on different system all mix matching and putting things together. You think a universal system of identification?
That would be great.
Would it be really great, Nuala? Because as much as in principle it sounds like it's great, and Carl agrees, and Carl makes a good analogy, a gun is a good thing as long as it's not abused by somebody to kill others. So, you know, but yeah, identification is a great thing, by the way, to have some sort of national identity or some sort of European identity that has all of this stuff on it. But and that's great in principle. But the problem is when you give that power to other people, that power can then be abused.
Yeah, you see, it has to be controlled at each level.
Like do you, but do you trust them to control it? Do you trust them to control it?
I think I have to trust somebody. Well, I'm getting fed up. I've been asked, what's your mother's maiden name? No, it's a family life.
I know.
And my mother died for the last 40 years.
Oh, what's your first pet's name?
No, I think...
Yeah, sorry, Carl. What are you trying to say to Nuala there?
Control at each level.
Go ahead, Carl.
The thing that would worry me most is actually there is the theoretical power for someone to effectively delete you from society. And that's actually the abuse of power. It's not so much that they'd stop you from traveling or they'd say, oh, we can see your driver's license. It would be that someone somewhere could effectively remove you from almost existing, and you wouldn't be able to access your bank accounts or anything like that. You saw that with the likes of Justin Trudeau, who is an actual fascist as far as I'm concerned.
Of course he is.
When he used powers like against Canadian truckers who were protesting.
To block their bank accounts. Yeah.
If you helped them, he blocked your bank accounts. So, you know, there are, and this is why we have to get used to what constitutes fascism, which modern day seems to be anything I don't like, that's fascism, versus actual fascism, which usually relies on a type of a heavy-handedness from the state, which nowadays in the more successful countries, you don't have to necessarily imprison people or make them wear white armbands or yellow stars. You can just ruin them in a million other ways instead. Justin Trudeau, great example of that. But that's the kind of thing actually that would worry me more. It's not so much that someone somewhere would be telling you not to eat a steak, is that they could actually just erase you from the world.
Stay there both of you a second. I want to bring Lisa in as well. Lisa, hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
Just remind people again what we're talking about. Last week they voted in the EU digital identity. Now that was the week before that they also voted in the MEPs and the EU digital product passport. So that's a passport for products for sustainability. But do you think the identity wallet is a good idea?
Absolutely not. I think there is serious danger. Things are, you know, at a fast pace that I don't think.
Sorry, Lisa, your phone is breaking up just a little bit. Maybe move to a slightly different room or something like that because it's just...
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
I don't think people really understand how fast we're moving in a direction that there will be no point of return, and the consistent selling points of, this will be safer, this will be quicker, it'll be easier, it'll be more seductive, and all the sugarcoating on it. If you look at the people who are actually pushing this and what they're openly saying about the direction that they're herding humanity into, and the development of AI, for example, there's a guy, Yuri, in a moment, but he's an Israeli philosopher that advises Avos, and he quite openly said the other day, as AI moves into its position, we won't need the majority of humans, and we don't know what to do with them. So I think that's where it's going. And on a ground level, we're being handed out the sugar cup of things become more chaotic. This is safer, and safety is always a big thing that they push on people: convenience and safety. But this is moving towards having no more free will, no more individuality, and a total central control of people who are ultimately eugenics.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand what you're saying, but then what we're doing is we're looking at everything in a doomsday way, because there have been progressions, you know, in technology over the last 30 years that have been quite beneficial to us. Many of those things, including, by the way, I know some people don't agree with, say, tapping cards and all that kind of thing, but for a lot of us, it's been very convenient. For those who are older, it can be difficult because they rely on cash. And I understand that. And I think the cash, I think the black economy is quite important to a society as well. But there has been a lot of things that have made our lives more convenient in technology. So we can't just write off everything as some sort of, you know, bad thing. And I agree with you that it can be a bad thing if it's abused. But are we certain it's going to be abused?
It will. I mean, the open, if you were to read the World Economic Forum business plans, which I think take about 8 hours a day for 3 weeks, you'll see openly they don't consider it abuse. It's their view of humanity as being ultimately useless and there's too many and that they need to be controlled of a certain few people. That lovely lady Nord there was talking about her brilliant observation of how the same companies are running everything. We've got a very small group of philosophical ideologists who have positioned themselves as, you know, the purveyors of what is valid and what isn't in life. But the crumb, the when you talk about convenience, convenience is the breadcrumbs into the battery, into the abattoir. So you can be, you know, convenience is not actually what it's sold as at all. It's what lures people into giving up their critical thinking, their individuality. You know, life isn't meant to be that convenient. If all the years were playing holiday to sport would be as tedious as to work, and that was a long time ago. But this addiction people have to having everything right now, instantly, and, you know, with sugar coating on the top is the death. I mean, if you want to destroy a baby from birth, you've given it what it wants quicker and more conveniently all the time, and you'll have a very destroyed version of a human being by the time they're 6 or 7. So I think we need to stop talking about how convenient everything is and step back and look at the business plans, listen to these people and what they're actually telling us that their plans are. And they don't include a lot of humanity in their plans.
Okay, well, hold on a second. And by the way, I was looking at that piece that you were referring to, Yuval Noah Harari, who warned that AI, by the way, can create religious texts and may inspire new cults. In other words, you can start up your own cult with AI, essentially your own leader or whoever it happens to be. But Carl, Lisa makes a lot of good points, and it all comes back to trust. And, you know, you talked about the gun at the start. A gun is not a bad thing unless it's in the hands of the wrong person. Unfortunately, we have seen world leaders. You just mentioned Justin Trudeau a second ago. I mean, imagine Justin Trudeau gets his hands on something like this. I mean, it'd be a more powerful tool for people like him. Now, don't get me wrong, he won't last long, but there'll be another Justin Trudeau, and there'll be a European version of Justin Trudeau and an Irish version of Justin Trudeau.
Well, we don't need to worry about those versions. We've already lived with those versions. Stephen Donnelly imposed a lockdown on this country, which was wrong. It messed up the lives of children. You know, we've had excess death ever since. We've had tens of thousands of undiagnosed issues with hearts and cancers and everything else because of his choice and because of the choice of people who were
impaired. And he will never be accountable for that, by the way.
True.
They're not leaders. These are reading off scripts that they're being told by the various people that they are given them by, you know, and they do it on rota at the same time. I mean,
who's given these scripts, Lisa? Who, when you say Stephen Donnelly, I just think Stephen Donnelly personally, I mean, in this particular scenario, we're talking about COVID-19, was just incompetent. I don't know if he was, he was following orders from Neffet, who in turn were following orders from the WHO. Sorry, Carl, just finish what you're saying, Carl.
There's a concept, by the way, just to add to what you're saying there, called, I think it's called Hanlon's razor, which is don't attribute to some big, you know, conspiracy that which can be explained by incompetence. And I think the guilty element of Irish politics is there is a lot of incompetence. There's a lot of skill in there, too, but it doesn't always get into the halls of the decision making part of the country. And in fact, the people that we vote for are only really half of it, because the unelected mandarins who run the various departments are a huge element of this as well, and they have their own culture, their own views, etc. But I wanted to get back to this idea that it is your duty as a citizen to help determine the world that you live in. And this is why I think the gun analogy is so good, because, you know, if you allow your leaders to ride roughshod over your rights and you don't hold them accountable, if you don't stand up and say, look, I think that's wrong, get them voted out, campaign actively for people who oppose them, well, then you have tacitly, or, you know, just through a lack of having made any decision or making any move, allowed that to continue. And that's why I wouldn't look at a tool being good or bad. I would look at the user of the tool. In this case, I think a lot of the digital elements, it is the way the world is going. And I don't see this breadcrumbs into the abattoir. I see it as being a path beside the abattoir. And should you choose to go into the abattoir because you don't know any better and you keep voting for the same fools again and again, that's on you. Like, you actually had a choice which fork in the road to take.
No, but you don't. You know, but you don't really, Carol. If I go back in politics 40 years, well, hang on. If I go back in politics 40 years ago, I had a choice when it came to a general election. I had a choice of parties that had different principles and different policies. Now I don't really have that choice anymore, because we see now that the main five parties, or four parties realistically, because nobody thinks Labour Party exists anymore, the main parties are all singing the same tune.
You know, now you do have a point, because they all go to school in the same places and they all believe all the same shit. Like, there is a crack of light between most of the parties nowadays. And you can tell in advance what any of them think on any matter. But remember when I said it's up to you? This is my point, and this is to you specifically. Get out and run. Mm-hmm. Get out and run. Get out and support someone who is running, who does believe what you believe. Get out and back some other party. Like, there's bound to be some party out there who is at least broadly in line with some of your views. Get out and support them. Support them vocally. Run for that party. Campaign for that party. Like, this is my point. I've had it up to the teeth of people saying, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, blah. If you're that upset about it, now I get enraged by these things, but I'm in business, so I'm not in the political world. I just see them as a distraction mostly. But if you truly feel that way, then do something about it.
Lisa, is that not a fair point? Just before I come to Joseph, is that not a fair point? If you're that upset with the way everything has been run and the way Europe has been run, well, then run for election yourself.
I have absolutely no faith in the government whatsoever. I think we're coming to a point where talked about digital ID. I'm looking at how are we going to survive? We don't go digital ID.
Your phone is very bad, Lisa. It's coming in and out. So maybe get back into that room you were in a second ago. It was okay a minute ago.
I think I have absolutely, the infrastructure of government has now been usurped by corporations globally. So don't have a government system. So I'm wondering at the moment, how am I going to survive if I don't choose to go the digital ID? Will I be permitted to drive? Probably not permitted to travel, but I'm not doing it. And I've been researching the benefits of digital ID, which if you research and then you're saying, well, I won't be able to access any of these services. And even if it comes down to the point that I can't drive or that I can't, I'm not going to do it.
But you didn't answer the question I asked you. And Carl made a point that if everybody is so upset, and we're all so upset with the way things run, and we don't have any faith in the government, and we think all the parties are cheeks of the same arse, well, then run yourself. Because there's nothing stopping you from running.
I wouldn't enter in any system whatsoever. The hierarchical structure, like a pyramid shape, is run by the same core group globally.
Well, then you run. But see, if you ran as a European MEP, what do you mean you come part of it? No, well, hold on. Does that not give you a voice? Then if you ran as a local politician, or you ran as a European MEP, and anybody can do it, by the way, anybody can do it. You can go online and see how to do it. Well, then, and you get enough votes and enough people agree with you, well, then
I won't accept a digital ID. So if I don't accept a digital ID, I won't be able to vote. So that's where I'll be. And I'm not accepting a digital ID.
That's a non sequitur. It's just not true. And for a start, let's just, instead of saying, I'll go for Europe, blah, let's realize for a start, people, for instance, in the Netherlands got really upset with the message that they were being told, with how they were being told to think, what to say, how to say it. And then eventually they started to push back on the farmers too. And they said, look, enough is enough. Boom. They changed the government. They changed the course of that country's history. So this stuff is possible. And no one says if you don't believe in digital ID, you can't run for an election. In fact, there's going to be elections coming up soon. You can still run for them. You can still run for a European election. Get started now. My point is that the majority of people are happy to bitch and moan about something. What they're not willing to do is go out there and get in the ring. So it's like the difference between a boxing commentator who wants to talk about, like, as if they're the best boxer in the world, and an actual boxer who, even if they're mediocre, at least has the courage to get in those ropes. People need to start doing that if you feel that strongly about these things.
Okay.
And go make that difference.
Okay, well, stay there, both of you, a second. Let me just bring Joseph in as well. Joseph, hi, how are you? Yeah.
Hi there. No, thank you so very much for having me online. There's a lot of points there that I need to bring up. So I think it was Carl is the other speaker there.
Yes, yep.
He was mentioning there must be a party that's running against this. Well, yeah, there is. AIM2 is the only party that I can see that's actually running against the government narrative. They're campaigning for a no vote in the upcoming referendum.
There's a couple of parties, but you might not agree with all the policies. There's the Irish Freedom Party. Yeah. There's one or two other smaller parties. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But AIM2, I'm a big order. It's the only party I see as being anti-government at the moment. The other thing was, his kind of point was, if you don't like it, run against them and all the rest. A lot of people can't do that because, firstly, it takes a huge amount of time and money if you're running an election campaign. You've got to dedicate yourself 100% to that, and you've got to have the resources, the know-how, the help, the support. You've got to be not working.
Yeah, you need the financial backing. Yeah.
You need a financial backing. A lot of people don't have that, and it's going to be
worse. What I actually said, though, and I'm happy if you want to listen back, was campaign for those that will. My point is, you don't have to be the one going over the lip of the trench, but for those that do, get behind them, them and be vocal about it.
Yeah, go to doorsteps. Okay, sorry.
No, that is, look, I do agree that is a great way to do it, but we kind of live in a society where a lot of people are specialized. A lot of people focus on the work that they do, right? So I don't have to get in and involve myself with the bread production of Ireland or the I don't know, whatever else is going on, the power supply network and all this, because I know someone else is taking care of it, so I can focus on my job, whatever that is. And for most people, their job, their family, take up the huge portion of their intellectual, emotional capacity. They don't have time or money for everyone to get involved and to do this. We live in this kind of interconnected society where I can specialize in my thing because you specialize in yours, so you take care of that for me. So if we get to the point where we can't trust politics and politicians, we can't at the moment, I don't believe we can ever, if we start giving them power and trusting them and they're abusing that, the people just do not have the capacity en masse to really get involved, to do the research, to put in the time. I mean, and it has to get so, so bad before they're all really pushed to, you know, if you look at any revolution in history, it got to the point where people were literally starving before they went out and marched. Because when it starts getting bad, people don't focus on, you know, complaining to the government. They start focusing on, I have to work more in my job to make the money to pay for, you know, things because it's all got worse.
But I need to get back, because we need to get back on what we're actually focusing on. So, as I said, the MEPs voted last week to bring in this EU digital identity wallet. Do you think it's a good idea, Joseph, at all?
What serious benefit does it bring to me or you? We can all go about, you know, our day. We can have our bank accounts, pay our bills. We can get everything sorted like we always have. And it might say, oh, it's more convenient, or, oh, it solves this problem or that. But
let me give you one benefit, right? Just one off the top of my head, because it talks about applying for loans, right? So if you're applying for a bank loan currently at the moment, what you have to do is you'll apply for your bank loan online, then they'll contact you. They'll ask you, will you send a scanned copy of a recent bill? Can you send me some of your bank accounts? Then you have to blank out your details, your transactions. You back and forward about five or six times and eventually get your loan approved or whatever it is, right? But I mean, with this thing, it'll be just a case of, here's my digital ID wallet number, off you go, and you're approved.
So you would give up your security and the potential for someone to delete you from the system or restrain your purchases or whatever for the fact of not having to send two emails or three emails or a little back and forth with the bank manager. I mean, you must have had a loan at some point or a mortgage. I have as well. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a pain of paperwork, but I am happy to go through that if that's the price of it. We could streamline the whole mortgage or loan process. But I think it's fair if you're talking about loaning out money, you say, okay, look, I'm a responsible guy, and here's this documentation to prove it. And, you know, there's a bit of back and forth and you give me your money. That's due diligence. That's fine.
Okay, I'll give you another example. You want to go to America. You don't have to have your visa waiver anymore. You don't have to apply for your ESTA online. You just go, you just produce your phone literally at the point of entry, and everything is on that, including your passport, your visa waiver, all connected together. You didn't even have to apply for it. It was all automatic.
Yeah, so you're saying, again, the only benefit can be was an hour's worth total of paperwork and filing. I mean, come on, that's not the biggest inconvenience to most people today, because they're not back and forth to America. And if they are, they can get a multi-entry visa, do it once off. I mean, look, there's ways to streamline this rather than giving massive, massive power to the government. Again, just like Justin Trudeau. And even more worrying, I think one of your callers mentioned there earlier about they said the AI was going to come in and it would make so many of the proportions, so many of the population redundant. What if one of those AI is put in charge? Like, Justin Trudeau will be a tyrant for his lifetime or his political career, but an AI would be a tyrant forever. And then you're giving it this infinite ability to just enslave each generation of humans coming in. You know, there's no way out of that. Once you get into it, there's no way out.
Is that not a bit conspiracy theory? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for conspiracy theories because a lot of times they actually come true. But Carl, again, this is the concern from people. You're saying, you know, the gun, and going back to your gun analogy, as long as the person uses it is not dangerous. But in the future, as far as Joseph is concerned, you know, AI is dangerous. Everybody can be dangerous with enough power in their hands.
I'm not saying no to that. I mean, I need to be clear about it. I'm not saying no to any of that. I'm not saying that that's not real, that it's not a risk. But what I would be saying is that the digital future is going to happen whether you're for or against it, in my view. I just see it as an extension of the amazing achievements and amazing leaps forward that humanity has been taking. And when you say, oh, I don't want a digital ID, like if you use your phone, if you use your fingerprint or your face to open your phone, you're already going down that road. If you use internet banking, you're already going down that road. If you have, a digital passport, like a passport with a chip in it, you are already going down that road. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, it's not the same because it's dispersed and this thing would agglomerate it or put it all together into one basket and therefore that's bad. And again, I mentioned the likes of Justin Trudeau being the type of person I'd be terrified of, smiling, you know, full of charisma, but willing to ruin your life in order to achieve his ends, willing to say that there's, you know, emergency orders in order to make it like the country's at war. Those are not arguments against this. Those are arguments against him. It's not an argument against this. It's an argument against him and people like him. And, you know, that's where my issue and my resentment comes from. It's not so much with the technology.
So Joseph, your fear is that in the future, sorry, I need to come to Sarah and Bernie in a second, but your fear in the future is that this will be abused by people like, for example, the Green Party, which we talked about earlier on, you know, where it's like climate credits and all sorts of carry on. You think it'll be abused in that respect?
I think it's inevitable it will be abused. There's no case it can't be abused. Once you put that gun on the table or put it in someone's hand and it's being passed around, there's no feasible, no realistic way that some absolute tyrant will not eventually be in control of us. And what they do with power is they will ensure that they never, never lose us. So you can't put it back in the box when you take it out.
So once the genie is out, that's it.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You can, when like, would they put in a system whereby they say, okay, we'll trial this for 5 years and then scrap us and then put it away and see if we like it? No, they're not going to have that. They're going to say, this is the system and it always goes forward and there's no mechanism for winding it up or shutting it down or returning power back to the people. I think it was
Before I come to Sarah, if I could just recommend for you, Joseph, just for future use when you come on, I have a funny feeling I know what's wrong with your phone. See, when I'm talking to you, I actually can't hurry you up. I have to keep lowering you down, which is difficult because I want you to interact with other callers. And this happens with one or two callers come on with us. So just for future use for everybody, sometimes it can be something as simple as the phone case that you're using, that what's happening is the sound is actually echoing back.
Right. I'm going to pop off this case really quickly.
Okay.
And then you'll tell me dramatically.
Let's do a test and see. But I think...
Yeah, okay. So the case is now off. Tell me if that's any better.
We'll see now if that's any better. There you go. It's gone. The echo is gone.
Ah, there you go. Okay. I'll throw that case into the river here and I'll never use it again.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that, Joseph.
No.
Okay, but hang on. Stay there, Joseph. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah, hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
How's it going?
Go ahead, Sarah. So what do you think? Would it be a good idea to have one universal identification digitally so that you could use it for everything?
Well, I don't know, really. Like, at the moment, don't you have something like that in Ireland with the MyGov cart as there is? Like, do you have, like, your social welfare, your revenues?
Yeah.
Your, you know, like, your, say, you've got a Susie Grant, and then you have the Road Safety Authority, and you have loads of things on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't use it outside of the country. You can't use it going through Dublin Airport. You can't use it to get a bank loan. You can't use it to file your tax returns. You can't use it to get your medical records.
But Shanael, why would you want something like that? Like, you don't want to be able to access something outside another country. Like you're taking a risk there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's technology, it's computerized, it's, and it can get hacked pretty easily. And then, like, it's not only, like, coming from one sort of network, it's coming from, like, other people involved in it. outside.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a third party. So, like, there's many back ways to get in and steal someone's identity.
Do you trust the government?
And then,
do you trust the government?
Do I trust the government?
Yeah.
No, I don't. A lot of, and it's not only that, I know for a fact.
It's a bad state of affairs, isn't it? You know, when we, for democracy, when we ask a simple question, I'm pretty sure if I did it online right now on Twitter and asked the question, do you trust your government? I have a funny feeling that 95% of people will come back and say no. And that shows how bad, what the bad state democracy is in this country.
Yeah, but it's like one of your callers there was saying, like, you know, it's down to the individual themselves. If they don't like it, you have to change it yourself.
But not every, and I understand what Carl is saying, and Carl is 100% right, but I think Joseph makes a really good point. Not everybody has access to that, because to run an election campaign, if you wanted to run in the June elections, for example, you know, you need posters, you need time off work, you need to do all of those things. Like, I couldn't do it, for example, as much as I would love to. I couldn't do that because I can't work on radio and run for election at the same time. It's illegal.
Yeah, but Niall,
yeah, sorry, Joseph. Yeah, Joseph.
I was saying, you could do it and you would win. I'd give you a vote.
Well, thanks, Joseph. I appreciate it.
Go on, run for the Europeans. I'd love to see it.
Mm. But yeah, but here's the thing. If I ran for the Europeans, I'd have to give up my job on radio. So I risk my whole career.
You'd have to take a hiatus, but you can always come back to us.
That depends on my employer, whether my employer would want me to do that, because I'd be in breach of contract.
Well, you are your employer, I thought.
Well, I am, yeah, but still I have a contract.
With yourself?
No, with the radio station that I work for.
Oh, yeah, okay. But, I mean, if you just say, like, look, your employer can't say you can't get involved in absolutely anything. You can, of course. And you're running your podcast like you usually do.
Most the podcast is fine, but unfortunately we don't make any money off the podcast. But the podcast is fine. But when you, according to the Broadcasting Authority regulations, and I'm sure it's the same now with Commissioner Mann, if you're working in media in Ireland on a licensed radio station, you cannot run for election at the same time. You cannot be a member of a political party. Yeah, I know, and I do understand the reasoning behind that, by the way, because obviously you would have a bias towards a political leaning. But anyway, we move on from that for a second. Let me just go to Bernie.
Hi, Niall.
Hi, Bernie. Hi, how are you?
Just listen to the other callers. Why can't you go? Didn't the guy in RTE go for election?
Yeah, but he had to give up his job in RTE.
Yeah, but he's still doing okay.
Yeah, but he came back because RTE took him back eventually.
Yeah, but sure, you'd have no problem.
You're talking about George Lee, isn't it? Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, I think you're wasting an opportunity for you to do something with, you know, the country.
Mm.
I think we need someone like you. I'm really sorry. I hate to tell you that.
No, don't hate to tell me. I mean, that's, I appreciate the compliment if you think I could make a difference. I mean, I would love to be in Europe making a difference, but here's the thing, like, would you make a difference?
You've an equal playing field. You're very level-headed. You don't get, you know, we've all, like, to now we're talking about this topic of the, and you know for a fact, this would go way bad in Ireland if this was to actually come down the line, this, you know, electronic thing.
You think so?
Just, oh, yeah, look what they did. Look at all the staff in, is it the HSC a few years ago, where all their identification was all...
That's what we hacked, yeah.
Hacked. Like, and that was supposedly an Irish state body, and that's what happened to all those staff and all their information.
Well, that was utter incompetence, Bernie, because the HSE were operating on machines only 3 or 4 years ago, which was like Windows 98. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how incompetent we are as a country sometimes, that we operate official government bodies with precious data on computers with, you know, 20-year-old, you know, operating systems. That were hacked by Russians, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So so there's the question answered. No.
Mm.
I don't agree with it. Because, I mean, the HSC, I was there when they had the computers come in. I was there. They never modified them, but yet they were trying to shove all this new stuff in. We'll have day surgery. We'll keep a record of this. We'll do blood thing. We'll do this. They never improved their whole service, but they expected one unit to do all the work, you know. And it was ridiculous. And I mean, that's how they think. So, no, I don't agree with this moving forward. I think we should continue. If you want to go, not everybody wants to go to America, but if you do want to go to America, go the channels that you have to do. as it currently is. I know it'll all change in 20 or 30 years when it becomes in a better, but I won't be worrying about it. But at the moment, I worry hugely about all the information that we all have to give for certain things. And it really freaks me out.
And do you think all that information will be abused?
Absolutely, 100% abused.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thinking. I'm only talking for myself.
No. I don't disagree with you all, by the way, because and Joseph is right when Carl gave the gun analogy, which was a good analogy. A gun is not dangerous unless it's put in the wrong hands, right? A gun is actually quite a useful thing unless it's put in the wrong hands. But if you put a gun on the table with a load of lunatics around the table, eventually somebody's going to pick it up and blow somebody's head off.
Yeah. Like you take a new car, like those new modern electronic cars, some of them are stopping and starting. Some of them don't have the right information. You think
on a side note, I would advise everybody to steer clear of electric cars at the moment because the arse is falling out of the value of them. Now we're seeing a lot of dealers are saying they won't take them as second-hand cars, as trade-ins anymore, because unfortunately once they get out of warranty and the battery goes, it's 15, 20 grand for a battery. So dealers don't want them. They're a liability. They're not the future. Electric EVs, the current EV model is not the future. The future is probably hydrogen. The future could be nuclear or something that we can charge a lot quicker with laser light. The patent on that technology is already there. So, and a lot of big manufacturers like BMW are now looking at stopping production of electric cars and moving to hydro. So that would make all the electric cars worthless. So I would say to anybody considering buying an electric car at the moment, don't bother.
No, I know it's a different conversation, but I'd definitely be pro electric car. We'll get into that another day.
I'm not against the idea, Joseph. I've driven a few of them. I had a loan of a couple of car companies, gave me them for a week or two each time. I thought they were great to drive, great fun, by the way. But in saying that, it's not the future. Let me give you an analogy. When video recorders and videotapes kind of they took over. Do you remember the Chinese brought in laser discs? And as laser discs were great, they were wonderful, but I knew they weren't the future.
Yeah, but I mean, electric cars right now, they're still having teething problems. This is really the first generation that have come out. Of course, they're going to have problems. There's the battery, there's this and that. In a few years' time, there'll be more developments. They'll figure out longer life batteries. So, I mean, do buy electric cars.
Yeah, but if you buy one now and yours has the old battery in a few years, it's going to be worthless.
It won't be worth it. I mean, you'll get, 10, 15 good years of driving it if that's what you want a car. I mean, if your plan is to have it as an investment, maybe not, yeah. Mm. But if your plan is to have a great car, they're fantastic. I know.
I love driving them, don't you? They are fun to drive. They are. Barely. Have you ever driven an electric car?
No, because I heard of a very sad, a freaky accident where a person aquaplaned in the middle of the night and the electric car hit a wall and it went on fire and the person they couldn't get into the car, the next car along, because they got electrocuted from trying to open the door to let the person out. And unfortunately, that person perished. So no.
Oh. I do want to point out, there is a little bit of a myth around the fires. There is as many fires, if not more, in diesel and petrol cars per head of population and per head of car. Diesel and petrol cars, they can explode as well. Of course, as we know, petrol is an accelerant and so is diesel, less so diesel. But I do understand the fires for electric cars can be quite dramatic because it's difficult to put them out because of the lithium ion that's in the batteries. But it doesn't happen that often. As much as we get shown it because we see it on social media, but it doesn't happen that often.
But there's another thing now. You're saying, like, you put an algorithm in, you start watching something for a particular, say how to be mindful or whatever, and your phone picks up your algorithm, and before you know it, you're being bombarded with all the different mindful movements and all these other people who are doing mindfulness, and you wonder how that information, you put in a simple I want to look or a Google search, it really freaks me out that's how simple things are now. So I think if we went that road for everything in our lives, it would be really difficult to even understand or comprehend what's going on.
That's because your searches, every time you Google search something, every 1.0 something seconds, it's being sold to somebody else. So, I mean, if you do a search tomorrow for, a pink dress, size 17, you can be absolutely sure tomorrow when you go onto Google, they will recommend a pink dress size, whatever it is, 13.
Imagine this. To bring it back to the conversation about the digital IDs and digital that information will get stolen and it will get sold. Can you imagine every facet of your life, every purchase, every location you've been to, every journey you've taken, everything down to the second being sold on to companies? Maybe even, you know, the black market, people who want to impersonate you, people who, like, we've all had a Facebook account hacked or a bank scam or whatever. Imagine if they had unlimited access to everything and it was near impossible to prove you're you more than they could with the information they had about you. I mean, it would be terrible. They could even use the information about you to try to scam your friends to get all their information, and it'll go along like a virus, just stealing, you know, hundreds of thousands of people's information in one day.
No, I do see the downsides, Bernie and Joseph. Listen, thank you very much indeed. I do see the downsides, and you are right, Joseph, in relation to that. Of course, at the moment, you know, if they hack your bank account, they're limited to just hacking your bank account. If they hack your, you know, your HSE card, they're limited to hacking just that information. But if we had all of that information in the one place and they hack it, well, then they've got everything. Some of the messages, by the way, coming in. WhatsApp, Stephen says, the EU passport issue, I think, has some valid concerns, but I do think it's being blown out of the water. They've been talking about this, something like this, for more than a decade. It hasn't happened yet. Fiona on WhatsApp says, I think it's a great idea, as it will help emergency services if they need information on your blood group, etc. Also, instead of having several cards, like the European health card, it means everything will be in the one place and nice and handy. Joe sent in a text, by the way, to say that it's an authoritarian to have a digital ID card. They know too much about us already. I value my privacy and strongly object to this. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show. Don't forget, by the way, you can support us quite easily by going to our website. We do need your financial support, by the way. Please, please, please try your best to financially support us by subscribing on our website, which is $5.99 plus tax a month, and that just pays for the costs of running the show. It doesn't pay us because the three of us don't get paid. But at least you're buying us, like, it's like buying us a drink, a pint of beer or a cup of coffee between the three of us once a month. You can subscribe on our website, or if you can and you can make a donation, we'd really appreciate that. We're trying to update some of our equipment at the moment. It costs a lot of money. For example, our phone lines, we need to upgrade them a little bit to stop that kind of clicking noise that's happening every now and again. Costs about 15 grand to do that. We don't have the money. And we don't make any money. So please, we would love you to help us do that. If you can go on and donate on our website, nileboylan.com. There's the website at the bottom of the screen. You can see it there. Please do it. For those of you who can help us, thank you very much. For those who can't afford to, and I understand why, please just spread the word. Tell your friends all about the show. Tell them where to listen, how to listen. And don't forget, by the way, you can also listen live on the website as well, nileboylan.com. We'll be back with you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.